Genesis chapter 21. Just been pondering this passage here in the life of Abraham. Just thinking about how each one of us has to come to this point in our life in some way at some time. And I want you to just think where we are in our Christian life tonight. And let's join Abraham and Sarah and all of these things that are going on in their lives. And let's remember that through the ups and the downs and the all arounds, God is still in control. Now we're in Genesis chapter 21. Sarah, verse 9, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder. And the child sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent. It'll get there, won't it? You get to the point where the water gets spent. In the bottle, she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went, sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. Imagine this. She sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. Said unto her, what aileth thee? Hagar, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord. May the word not only help me, but help everybody listening. And the more I travel, the more I go, I'm finding out that there are many others that are listening sometimes later on. May this message, at whatever point it's heard, help somebody. That's the power of the word. Now we ask these and all of our petitions in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here's what we've been considering in Genesis 21. I've entitled this, Your Due Date is Here. I could have called it, The Baby Has Finally Arrived. But I call it the due date because for Abraham and I, Abraham and Sarah was a baby. For us, it could be something else. Could I tell you, if God's made your promise has a due date? No, let me say that again. If God's made your promise has a due date. Now, God sets the due date. He's the right one to set it. Amen. If he made the promise, then he knows when to come good on his promise. And in Genesis chapter 21, it's here. The baby's coming. God's going to keep his word. The miraculous conception happens. This old lady and her old husband received the promise of God. God did a miracle. And by the way, nobody can do miracles except God. Let us not forget the 21st century, in the midst of depression and dismay and distress, God's hand is not short that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Listen to me, our God is still in the miracle working business, and due date is coming. And when it came, the miraculous conception was followed by meaningful compliance. In other words, when God did what he said, Abraham did what God told him to do. Make sure you don't just receive the blessing. Make sure you are proper steward of the blessing. That meant calling him the right name. That was a particular calling. Isaac meant laughter. That meant painful circumcision. That wasn't easy. That meant patient commitment. He had to wait on the Lord. Meaningful compliance. We are all recipients of the blessings of God. And some of you tonight are waiting for God to come through in some area. A few moments ago, we got down on our knees. And let me tell you something. Some of those names we called, we've been calling for 10 years. But we're going to keep calling. And when God answers, comply with the blessing as he said. Wait a minute. God said, I did what I said. I did it when I said I was going to do it. I did it how I said I was going to do it. Now, you do what I told you to do. It's compliance and it's meaningful. Obedience is the manifestation in the child of God whether or not he really loves God. I said obedience. Not singing, not shouting. I said obedience. Now, this motivated a celebration. They got happy. This celebration involved worship on their part. It involved a watch on other people's part. It involved a wonder. It involved a working. This boy started growing. Now watch this now. The birth of Isaac was not the finish line. It was the starting point. Did you hear that? The birth of Isaac was not the finish line. It was the starting point. Listen to me. Your salvation was not the finish line. It was the starting point. When God got you saved, you didn't culminate at your apex. You started your Christian life. And let's not just celebrate the birth of our salvation, but let's enjoy the growth of our salvation. That's what they celebrated. They didn't celebrate. They didn't throw a party. They didn't throw a banquet when he was born. They threw a banquet when he was weaned. Amen. We need more Christians to stop just being settled with being saved. Amen. And they ought to be sold on being mature. Amen. We got too many saved and done. We got too many born again and quit. We got too many babies and still babies. We got too many breastfed that are still breastfed. Amen. We got too many that haven't gotten weaned yet. Somebody has got to determine by the grace of God. God didn't just save me to be fed for the rest of my life. He wants me to learn how to feed myself so I can feed somebody else. Motivated celebration. Now last week we looked, if you would, at what came about by way of a messy contention. Before we began reading tonight, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Now, I told you last week that Ishmael represents the flesh and Isaac represents the spirit. Ishmael represents what we do on our own and Isaac represents what God does on his own. Ishmael represents what happens when we try to go around God. Isaac represents what happens when we're in the will of God. Come on. And there's a conflict. Now, won't you see this? You're growing in the Lord if you're doing what you're supposed to. You come to church on a Wednesday night. You're reading your Bible if you're doing what you're supposed to. I say you're walking with God if you're doing what you're supposed to. If you're not doing what you're supposed to, I can't help you in this message unless you'll start doing what you're supposed to. But as you're growing and you're trying your best to walk in the Spirit, nobody walked in the Spirit 24 hours for 7 days a week since last Wednesday. Nobody got it perfect. But I hope you did it enough to know you want to keep doing it. Now, while you're walking in the Spirit and living God's way, and receiving God's blessings. Some of us this week have witnessed God do some things that only God could do. Now, when that happens, get ready for conflict. Huh? And watch this now. Even some of our already possessions that have seemed to function somewhat dormantly. The arrival of Isaac tends to flare up Ishmael. Now somebody help me preach. You start living for God. You start enjoying the blessings of God. And you, listen, you get on the receiving end of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Look, quiet Ishmael is going to start speaking up. You better know what to do. I say you better know what to do. You take a step forward for God as a Christian, and there'll be people in your own family that will conflict it. Some of you nodding your head because you're going through it. You're at church tonight, but somebody you love is not really cool about how close you and Jesus are becoming. Huh? I'm talking about a longtime friend. Isn't it amazing how your good friends never have a problem when you sin with them? Your good friends never have a problem when you gossip with them. Your good friends never have a problem when you do wrong with them. Your good friends never have a problem when you skip church with them. Your good friends never have a problem when you run somebody down with them. But all of a sudden you start getting closer to God. By the way, they were asking God to get you on track when you were rebellious. And now you got so far on track with God that it's causing a conflict with them. Now remember, according to the word of God, there's some facts we learn. According to Genesis earlier chapter, when Ishmael was born, Abraham was 86. Okay? According to this chapter, when Isaac is born, Abraham is 100. Now, we don't know if the weaning, some customs say he was weaned, a child was weaned at 3. Some customs say a child was weaned at 5. We don't know if Isaac was weaned at 3 or 5. But we do know if Isaac was 3, Ishmael was 17. If Isaac was 5, Ishmael was 19. There's a big separation. Watch this now. Big brother is picking on little brother. Watch this now. Because the covenant of God rests on him and not on him. If you don't do well, people being jealous of you, don't serve God. Just serve the devil. And they'll never have to be jealous of you because they can always be better at it than you if they'll try. But you want to do right by God. See, I'm just trying to tell you that there's a stewardship on the believer when good things come into your life. Are you listening to me now? Praise the Lord. You testify on Sunday night about a blessing. You better be ready to defend it on Monday morning. Are you listening? You start leading somebody to the Lord, you get involved in a ministry, you join the choir, you start giving right, you write down a higher commitment on your faith promise card, you start leading people to the Lord, you surrender to the call to preach, you make it a point you're going to head off to Bible college, you decide you're going to read your Bible and pray every day, and all of a sudden, Ishmael has a problem with it. There's a conflict. Wow. Messy contention. Notice the arrogant ridicule he's mocking. Here's the adamant reaction or response of Sarah. Cast out her. Get her out of here, Abraham. She's not going to mess with my baby. By the way, we're going to see in the next couple of verses. God was in agreement with Sarah. Wait a minute. Everybody's looking at the Bible saying, oh, Sarah's just a little ugly, nasty attitude trying to get rid of that woman. Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. God was in agreement with Sarah. Now, I can't speak to Sarah's spirit because the Bible doesn't give us much clarity. But I'm just telling you that Sarah said, I know what the arrival of Isaac means for me and my husband. This is the covenant child. This is the seed through which the promises of God will be fulfilled. This is a step towards the arrival of the Messiah. This is the culminating of a people that God is going to create through Abraham's life. And we cannot afford for Ishmael to mess with Isaac. Now I want to ask you a question. What in your life that is operating through the power of the flesh has become a threat to that which is spiritual? Now I want you to follow this. Get out of here. Get out of here. And I want you to notice then what the Bible tells us. This this arrogant ridicule, this adamant reaction. Notice what the Bible says about Abraham. And the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because it was his son. There was what I call agonizing remorse. Now, I think this is right where we are. I know Christians that are doing their best to serve God, and they're at a crossroad. Here's where they are. On one hand, they're pushing forward for God, but they're at a point where the next step forward for God demands the loss of something they love. Now, watch this now. Here's what God's saying. If you're going to move forward with Isaac, you're going to have to break some ties with Ishmael. No. Guess who's caught in the middle? Abraham. You know why? Sarah's not caught in the middle as much because Sarah doesn't have an attachment to that boy like Abraham does. What? Notice the language. I'm not going to walk back up there. You got your Bible in front of you. Cast out this bondwoman, right? That handmaid. You had a son with her. That's when so many words she said. There's two boys out there. They both your sons, but only one of them mine's. That's what she's saying. Sometimes you got to interpret scripture the way that the congregation can understand it. It all depends on where you're preaching. Now, watch this now. That's why the Christian life is personal. See, you're going to have to come to the point, and some of you are sitting right here, and I'm telling you, you're not going to grow in the Lord until you're willing to go forward with God, with Isaac, even if it means making some changes with Ishmael. How much do you love the will of God? How much should I identify your Ishmael tonight? Oh, Pastor, this is kind of internal stuff. I mean, what kind of church you want? Who's your Ishmael? For some of you, Ishmael is your job. For some of you, Ishmael is your family. For some of you, Ishmael may be boyfriend, girlfriend. For some of you, Ishmael may be a habit, your career, your plans, your goals. Listen, the will of God is Isaac. The covenant is Isaac. The promised seed is Isaac. The perfect plan of God is Isaac. But what about this 17-year-old of you? You mean tell me I've got to get rid of one in order to save the other? Don't get quiet unless you're thinking. I'm not talking about textbook Christianity where you just check off the box. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm learning. Listen, I'm learning. Getting Christians checking off boxes isn't hard to do. But getting Christians to walk in the unction to function of the Holy Ghost of God is a miracle. Listen to me now. And consistency is a miracle. Getting a flash of a believer for one Sunday or one month or even one year isn't hard to see. But getting somebody who's determined to go all the way with God, it takes, my friend, a compliance to the Holy Ghost of God. Listen. You're not spiritually mature yet if you haven't crossed the threshold of cutting off something that God says you got to let go instead of in order to hold on to what he has for you in the future. Amen. Wow. Contention. The due date brought about that. These kids going to get on a bus in a couple months or so and ride down to a youth conference. They're going to hear five days of preaching and be challenged. And they're going to go to the altar and make some decisions. And they're going to get back off that bus on fire for God. And somebody that didn't go in this church is going to have a problem with it. And they're going to have to decide. Am I going to keep you as my BFF or am I going to go forward with God? So there's a messy contention, and Abraham's struggling with it. Write down this next point. This passage is helping me. I hope it's helping you. There's a masterful conversation. Doesn't God always know when to show up and talk? Somebody say, and God said. No, no, no. Somebody say, and God said. Have you ever gone to bed torn? One of the biggest things in the Christian life is not just right and wrong. It's better and best. It's God, I got two people I love and two people I'm supposed to love. But how many of you know that you can love two people, and even though you love both people, you have to deal with each of them differently? Here's where Abraham is. If you're going to take me with Isaac where you want to take me, I got to do something with Ishmael. And God said, listen to the masterful conversation of God. It begins with a divine word. Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land and because of thy bondwoman. The divine word, listen now, is a reassuring call. Don't fret over this decision. Now, I think God is saying to all of us tonight, cutting off something, anything that is not the perfect will of God, don't fret. Don't be dismayed. You are always making the right decision to stay in the center of God's will. Wow. Listen, somebody here tonight sitting in church on Wednesday night, Pastor, I'm making some major decisions in my life, and they involve the severing or the adjusting of my life with people I love. And I'm having trouble letting go. Watch this now. My wife don't have a problem letting go because she don't have the same connection I do. My husband doesn't have a problem letting go because he doesn't have the same connection I do. Sometimes that happens. Uh-huh. Some stuff you love, your husband doesn't love. Some stuff you love, your wife doesn't love. That's why God has talked to you about you, and you about you, and me about me. Uh-huh. See, your problem may be something you're looking at, sir. Your problem may be somewhere you're going, ma'am. But you better rest assured, the word of God is going to talk to you about where you are. And your spiritual progress depends on how you respond to this crossroad. Everybody thinks that once the blessing comes, the hard part's over. No, 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 the hard part begins. People that don't get nothing from God got it easy. They have no stewardship. Oh, I just wish God would bless me like he blesses other people. No, you don't. You having problem serving him broke. Having problem serving him with no blessing. Having problem serving him with no favor. Listen, the more favor, the more responsibility, the more information, the more liability. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Some people aren't ready for Isaac. They're too in love with Ishmael. There's a divine word, involves a reassuring calm. Notice, if you would, the right command. Cast her out. Hearken unto Sarah's voice. Do what she said. Because what she says, what I want you to do. Notice the reminded covenant. Let's not forget Abraham. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch this now. Could you look up here just a moment? Could you please? Don't let 14 years of Ishmael cause you to forget what God said about Isaac. Okay? You better hear me. If God ever called you to preach, don't let development in your career cause you to forget about your calling. He didn't change his mind just because some seeming advancements are happening on a side front. Abraham, cast out her and him. Why? Because in Isaac shall thy seed be. Wait a minute, Abraham. Remember, I told you way back, look northward, look eastward, look westward, look southward. Everything you see shall be yours. Wow, this is amazing. Yeah. Now it's time to start walking in that. Yeah, you've been enjoying this, boy, and I'm happy for you. But this is not my perfect will. And I can't bless you fully with Isaac while you're still clinging on to certain aspects of Ishmael. God had to remind him. Does God ever remind you of covenant? Covenant, but remember, according to the figure eight that Nathan and I walked by way of demonstration, God was going to perform it, but Abraham was entering the covenant with God. Okay, so sometimes God doesn't just have to remind us of what he's done. He needs to remind us of what we promised and his plan. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to stay in your Bible, prone to wonder how I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my life, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and shield it for your courts above. Remind me, God. Remind me when I have gotten used to what the flesh can pull off, that your plan is still spiritual. Wow. Let me get ready to wrap this up, but I got to give you this one more thing. We got a little time. There's a divine word. There's a declared will. Also of the son of the bondman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Also of the son of the bondman woman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation for he is thy seed. Here's what God said to me today. Whenever you're mulling over the difficulty of letting go of something or cutting somebody you love off, rest assured, if you cut somebody off to do something for me, I'll make sure that whoever you cut off is taken care of, because I can do for them better than you can anyway. See, you better not let a rebellious child get you to violate the will of God. That's right. A good friend to get you to take your eyes off God. A prospering job to get you to compromise. Come on. Well, God, but I love this person. And I'm not talking about not praying. I'm not talking about, I've known preachers that preached to people, if your child doesn't live right for God, you can cut off all contact, treat them like they're dead. What that preacher ought to be fired and a few other things. But anyway, I'm just simply saying, you got to be careful when your allegiance to the will of God is hindered by your inappropriate allegiance to things of the flesh. I'll take care of Ishmael, but God, if I kick him out, cut her off, ignore their phone calls, who's going to help? I had a barber like that. If I quit going to see him, who's going to help him? God said, that's not your problem. Long he take your $20 and buy a crack, you can't help it. Yeah, but God, I sit with him for 40 minutes in the chair, and while I'm sitting with him, I can tell him about the Lord. God said, he ain't listening anyway. Do you realize if I want to salvage his life, that I don't need your 40 minutes once a week to tell him about me? I can find another way to let him know about me without you spending my $20 on him when you could give it to missions? You know, I'm finding out some of them you cut off for the will of God. If they're sincere, God will find them out in the wilderness somewhere. They'll come back around. Preach, Pastor. Thank you, young man. I appreciate that encouragement. I'm going to tell you something. This is mature Christianity. I've known believers that could have gone further if they were as committed to God as they were their loved ones, their hobbies, their ambitions, their dreams. But for 14 years, we've had this bond, God. And you mean to tell me I'm supposed to let this little 3-year-old boy mess up what I've had for 14 years? Oh, yeah, if it's the will of God, I don't care if he's 3 years old or 3 months old. The will of God always trumps and supersedes any and everything else. The divine word, the declared will, and then I'll close here with the devoted work. So what do you do? Verse 14. Could you read verse 14 with me, the first phrase there? Let's read together. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Stop there, please. Which morning do you think it was? This was. Which morning do you think it was? The next morning. What time did you get up? Girl, watch yourself. Look here. Look here. Look up here. The longer you take to obey God, especially about things that mean something to you, the harder it's going to be. I've known Christians been praying for 6 months about obeying God. Pastor, God is leading me in this direction. You pray that I'll follow. With every day you pray, the further you are from obedience. The next morning. I cannot afford to delay obedience. The next day, he wasn't cold, he wasn't unkind, he wasn't a deadbeat daddy. He was a child of God on the precipice of destiny that could not afford procrastination when it came to spiritual performance. So he got up early. Why? So he didn't give himself time to change his mind.
God's convicted me about reading my Bible. I plan to start next week.
No, start tomorrow morning. Early. Wow. Devoted work, submissive commitment, early in the morning. Sincere concern. He's burned about Hagar. Sacrificial contribution. He took bread, water, put it on his shoulder, sent her away. I don't know if Abraham had done anything harder than that. Kicking his own son out the house. God have mercy. Here's some bread. Here's some water. Put it on your shoulder. I love you. But I love God more. And I'm going to do more to help you away from you than I could with you. Because me separating myself from you puts you in a position where God has to do it. That's mature Christianity. I've made the calls. I made some of them. You know, you're going to have to. That's it. No. I'm going to take you off my prayer list. I ain't going to quit loving you. I ain't quit telling you truth. And if you ever pick up the phone, I'm going to answer and run to help you as best as I can. But as far as being in the immediate circumference of where I'm going, I can't afford for you to be in there because we're going 2 different directions. Yeah. And if you're really sincere, the God I serve, the heart knower of all, is so gracious that he will find you in the wilderness that I sent you to and make sure, apart from me, you're still taken care of. Why? Because he's working out his plan. And as tough as it is on us to let go of the things and people we love, it is never an excuse to disobey God. Wow. Just maybe you need to make some tweaks to your prayer life and stop asking God to hurry up and bring that blessing's due date to your life. Maybe you ought to pray, God, bring a spirituality into my life so when that blessing does arrive, I know what to do with it. Father, help us. All of us. We're traveling down some territories in life that demand some sacrifices. Whew. I wish they were easy. Oh, my soul. They're not. I wish that arriving Isaac only brought about joy and glee and simplicity and ease. And yet, the best blessing they ever received brought into Abraham's life his biggest burden. Help us, Lord, to know what to do when the due date is here. In Jesus' name.